Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to enter into the realm of the understanding of the Word of God. Father, you said that salvation comes through the preaching of men, and that the cross had a foolishness to the understanding of natural man. But those who know the kingdom, it is the power of God. And so this morning, as I deliver your word, Father, may my communication be very clear and not complicated or difficult, but Father, in such a way that I get the points across that are important and necessary for our understanding, so we can act on the Word of God. Because Father, you had given us that little babe in a manger. His name was Jesus. And Father, you made a wonderful statement that's hard for the natural man to grasp. Because he was given, that little baby in a manger was given, you declared peace on earth. Peace on earth. And goodwill towards men. What a declaration you've given us. And so, Father, today as we get back into what we've been studying, where are you at in our sufferings? Father, may I do you honor in presenting the truth in such a way that men have a great hope in their salvation. And that they are not circumstantial, but Father, they can be on purpose in the game of life. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. If you will, open up to Ephesians chapter 1. We've been talking about where is God when we go through tests and trials and suffering of life. And we do have a world that is filled not only with the will of the adversary, because it says this whole world lies in the wickedness of the wicked one, which his name is Satan, the old dragon or serpent from old. And that we know that when God gave us Jesus in that little manger, the first time I read that statement, and this is before I was actually turned on to God, this is when I was out in the world, I read that in the Bible. You know, it's amazing how you can read the Bible, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit there to give you the correct interpretation, things seem real strange to you. And that's why the unbeliever says that the Bible contradicts itself. It's not true to its own form. Well, sure, the natural mind can declare that because that's the only way they know how to look at the Bible. But thank God for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives you the correct interpretation to the knowledge of God. And when I read that in, I think, one of the synoptic gospels, it says, peace on earth and goodwill towards man. The first thing that my mind thought of was, how come so many Christians don't understand that? Mm-hmm. You know, me, I understood why I wasn't having peace on earth and goodwill towards man. Why? Because I was creating most of my own hell. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you. Matter of fact, we were going together for a while, and she made a decision to get rid of me. She could read fruit better than what I could. And so when she made that decision, I made the decision I was going to straighten up, because I didn't want to lose her, you know, in that sense. It wasn't all that sacrificial. Praise Sue for sticking with me. Is that what you said, Steve? I'll deal with you after the service. But when I read that, peace on earth and goodwill towards, my thoughts just automatically went towards those who claim to be Christians. Why don't they have peace? It seemed like they were having more difficulty with life than I was, even though I was in a worse shape than they were. You know what I mean? It's just because I didn't have the knowledge or the understanding of where they were at, you know. And so, really, Christianity didn't impress me all that much. My understanding was, why do the good always suffer? You know, why do they always go home? I never really bore witness to any of that, but that's what I heard, you know. Matter of fact, Sue, you had a boyfriend, this was before we met, that had a mother. He had a mother that was a Christian, but she was bedridden or something. Remember that? I can't remember. And that stuck in my mind. You know, if she loved God so much, why does God treat her that way? You know, if God really loves her, you know, why is she suffering like that? It was just in my thinking, you know. And today, that's in many people's thinking. You know, why are they going through what they're going through? You know, I mean, you know, if we belong to the Lord, then why aren't things working out the way they should? If we really belong to the Lord, and He gave us that word peace on earth and goodwill towards men, then why aren't we living that way? You know, at least why aren't believers living that way? In Ephesians chapter 1, I want us to look at some verses here that are very interesting. Let's start with verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Notice this, in the knowledge of Him. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, that word knowledge there is not talking about natural knowledge. This word for knowledge right here is actually speaking of revelation knowledge, or knowledge that gives you insight beyond natural perception. How many understand what I'm talking about? And this is a prayer by Paul the Apostle, and he's actually praying a prayer that would affect the church. He put it in writing for a reason or a purpose. And so when he says that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that is the Greek word epinosis. It means a knowledge that's on top of another knowledge. It means that you could perceive something by your natural senses, that kind of knowledge, but there's a knowledge that transcends that knowledge. How many understand what I'm talking about? It means that this knowledge, are you ready? This knowledge has more of insight or understanding than the knowledge that you can see. See, and so he's asking us, actually the word spirit there is actually in the Greek the word heart. That the eyes of your heart, your whole being would have a revelation of insight that's beyond what your senses can see. What a prayer. Man, I used to, in prayer all the time, in certain areas, I would find these kind of scriptures and I'd confess them. And I says, and Father, if Paul prayed this prayer, I'm praying the same prayer. That the eyes of my heart would be enlightened. I would have you reveal to me a knowledge or an insight that goes beyond what I can see with my natural eye. I pray that all the time. Still do on occasion. You know, because life doesn't cease to exist from day to day. It always presents newness of life. In the wrong manner. Now, notice what he goes on to say. He's praying that the eyes of your heart or your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet. Now let's take a look at this picture right now, real carefully, okay? I'm going to make a statement to you. I'm going to make a blank statement. Your head's going to lock up for a minute. But if you know anything about life, you've got to know this. If you want to know anything about life, then you've got to know this. Are you ready? Now I'm going to make a statement that's going to shock you at first, but I'll give you a little explanation that goes with it. God does not act on your circumstances. God spoke that to me. And my head just shook. Well, God, well, this isn't God, this is the enemy. Because that statement to me sounds so ridiculous. But the problem was, I had it coming from in here. I said, what do you mean, God, you do not act on my circumstances? He said, if it really was truly that way, you'd be in a lot better place than you are. And I shook my head again and I said, you got coming. You know, when God sometimes will make statements to you so simple, but you can't grasp it because your thinking is going totally in the opposite direction. And I said, God, now wait a minute. Now you're telling me you don't act on my circumstances? Uh-uh. He said, if it was up to me to act on your circumstances, you'd be in a better place than you are. I said, explain this to me, will you? He says, I sure will. I'll make it real simple. He said, he acts on the performance of his word that you use in your circumstances. I said, give me a word on this. He said, well, you were reading Psalms 139, you knowledgeable little thing, you. And you seem to forget that every place that the writer declared he was, it was because he chose to be where he was. When I, David said, when I, he didn't say where God led me, where God purposed for me to be. He said, where I. He said, if it was up to me, you wouldn't be in half the messes you're in because you've been places I wouldn't go. Now remember the things that I told you. There was seven things that you have to have established in your thinking when you're in unfavorable circumstances, when you are under tests and temptations of life, or when you're in unfavorable, I'm talking about in places of suffering. And many of you know what suffering is all about. Can I see a hand of anybody that knows what suffering's about? The rest of you, I don't know what you know. But every one of us in this room, I guarantee every one of you should have raised your hand. Unless you're not living on planet Earth, you're an angel that has manifested in the natural means that we have not noticed that yet. But every one of us have been in one of those places. Whether we're suffering, whether we're under tests and trials, no matter what it is, every one of us have been there. And I said, these things have to be established in your thinking. Number one, we're not suffering because God's love has not ceased in our life. That's what Romans 8, 35 through 39 is all about. No matter what you're going through, it has nothing to do because God's love has stopped. God's love abounds towards you no matter what thing you're in. And then number two, he wants to give us direction when there seems to be none. Sometimes a lot of us seem to think God doesn't want to give us direction. He might be ticked off at us. It was all right to say that. Or mad at us about something. Listen, God might be upset with you, but God never ceases to want to give you direction when you need it in the place that you need Him the most. Whether it's a test and trial or a temptation, whatever you're going through, God wants to give you direction. And that we brought out, it was done several ways. Number one, by an inner witness, which is the very basic thing that you inherit as a believer. Number two, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, a prophecy or a sermon that brings understanding to you. A sermon is also a way of direction for you. A lot of people don't look at it that way because sermons are what pastors do with churchiosity. But have you ever thought that when you come to church this morning, all of you, when you come to church this morning, I know it was a sacrifice because the Seahawks are playing, I know that. But when you came to church this morning, whether you realize or not, this sermon is tailored for you. And this is the way God communicates to you. Now, so the last way that God will give you direction, He'll give you confirmation by loved ones or friends. you know, I just feel, you know, this could be the Lord, but I just feel that this is what you ought to do. And a light goes on, bing. Was that God? Yep, it was, if it gave you direction. You know. And then the third thing is, you have to know that the Lord knows you personally. You know, a lot of us look at God being up there and you're down here and He's really untouched by what you're going through because after all, He's God. No, He's touched by every feeling of infirmity that you have in your life. So much so that He also partook of what you went through and overcame so that you can have victory because He understands your suffering. Now, there are Christians that seem to think God wants them to go through that. You know what that's called? Pride in the highest degree. God has not called you to suffer so you know the sufferings of somebody else. That's a bunch of trash. Now, number four, know you're prone to making mistakes. I'm sorry I told you that. It's not a bad confession, but that's the way it is. But even in your mistakes, He's there for you. Now, we broke all these down through Psalms 139. We don't have time to go through these verses that we pointed to about the testimony that David had. So, and number five, God wants you in control of your life by His Word. Not by your circumstances, but by His Word. Why? To avoid loss. He doesn't want you to have a bailout in unfavorable circumstances. He wants you to use the Word of God in unfavorable conditions of life so that it becomes a part of you because those unfavorable conditions come back around. It seems like they never disappear. But I'll tell you what, if you get to a place in your life and you have an unfavorable circumstances, guess what? The circumstance will come and go, but it'll come right back around. When there's a change in the person that it comes around to, there's where the effectiveness is. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know this is good preaching. He wants you in discernment. He wants you to develop in character for success in all the affairs of life. He doesn't want you to learn so you never go through anything. That's ridiculous. I got news for you. Tests and trials will never go away until you're in the third heaven. So in two areas that He focuses in on this is the Word of God and your personal prayer life. Number six, what brought on the sufferings, the tests or the trials? We never think about that. The first time I get into a situation, the thing that's very, very knowledgeable in me, what brought this thing on? Some of us don't even like to believe that we had anything to do with it. It was just designed by God. Number six, you've got to have this established. Never. Moi. Number two, was it someone else? Or is it because you're doing the will of God? Well, I got news for you. You can't do something about somebody else. And that's fact with some people. They're irreconcilable in relationship with you. Some just don't want to restore things. You follow me? When you're dealing with other people, there's where you need the wisdom of God to walk in love. Because you can't control people. Guess what? You can control you. And guess what? You can do the will of God. So you've got control of two of them. Thank God. So you only got one against you. Then the one against you, that'll fit into its proper perspective as well. What am I talking about? Somebody who's somebody of God, you're in trouble. Because if you blame somebody for all your problems and not look at yourself or the world, because everybody's always... So, to eliminate 9, verse 23 and 24, I want you to focus in on. In case, then we need temptations. We need, if you're going to educate me, I'm trying to go through more tests and trials. I'd label this guy, idiot. Now, again, God does not act on your circumstances. He acts on the performance of His Word that you use in your circumstances. the performance of His word that you use in your circumstances. Now, I got news for you. Knowledge, just knowing something, does not guarantee victory for you. A lot of us know a whole lot and still don't use it when we need it. How many of you know we're prone to be that way? Now, just pay really close attention to me because this will help you. You do not have to be a mature believer to have success in the things that you face in life that are causing you not to move forward like you would. Then really, what is the key place? The key place for success in unfavorableness, the sufferings of life, the key to understanding how you can come out of everything is real simple. When I was first became a believer, and not a Christian, I mean a believer. You can be a Christian and not a believer. You know, we use terms that are not good terms. Just because you're a child of God doesn't necessarily mean that life has offering you peace from day to day. You know. So this thing that really caught my attention, it that helped me more than anything else, is to know these principles that I'm sharing with you very, very closely. It's something you got to keep in your mind, your understanding all the time. But you know something? My ability, not only is a spiritual thing, but I have this natural man to go with it. Mm-hmm. Are you following what I'm saying? And my natural man always questions because I got this carnal side to me that I'm living within this to make expression here. And so this very basic, you get a hold of this, it's going to help you. At first, you might not feel like you're in faith. You've heard something, but yet you don't know whether it can work for you. How many of you have ever been that way? Right. Matter of fact, you'll cough up reasons more why it won't work for you than it will. So you know what I've learned to do? And more recently, more than ever, it is really starting to work, not only for me, but for the others around me. And it's this fact. Are you ready? Just flat be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Just be obedient to the Word. Even though you question it, even though you have doubt there. You know, Dad Hagen said, you can have doubt in your head, but faith in your heart. You know, one of the expressions of faith working for you is simple obedience. Yeah. You know, God wants to show Himself to you in such a way that you learn to have confidence in what He gives you. And the only way you can do it is just flat by obedience. You know, it's just like praise and worship wasn't a part of my life until we started learning. Just be obedient to worship God. Just be obedient to giving your natural man, even though you come into church and you just got fighting with your wife or your husband. You kicked your dog or your cat and you slapped your kids on the way to church. But when you get here, you got all this pressure on you and you just don't feel like nothing. Just flat be obedient. Right. Flat be obedient. Get into the worship and get into the praise and don't stand there looking at everybody else. Get in it. And how? I'll tell you what, the first time I started dancing before the Lord, I'm this conservative type guy. I don't like jumping out there and starting to dance, you know. But the first time I did, I felt the freedom come over me, and it was just flat obedience, not what I felt like I should do. Just flat obedience. That's the basic bottom line. If you question your faith, just be obedient above everything else. Are you guys getting something here? Now, notice what he goes on to say here in Ephesians 1, verse 22. And this is what you got to get a hold of. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him. Who did he put all things under whose feet? Under whose feet? Under whose feet? Okay, now notice this. And gave him to be the what? The head over all things to what? Which is what? The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, this is what many believers don't catch about these verses. It says in verse 19 and 20 and 21, He establishes something. You know what He establishes? He establishes this fact. Are you ready? That Jesus took control of the enemy. Period over and out. Won that victory. And seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. And now what did Jesus' member become? What did the body of Jesus' member become? Did you know it says, let your bodies become a member. You're a member, even though you have a body. Jesus had a body. It's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He gives expression, it's a member in that body. Amen. And what is the member? It's a what? Say it real loud. Did you know that Jesus is controlling the body of Christ as a member in that body called head? Oh, I wish you all jumped like that. You got it. Did you know you're a member of the body of Christ? But the Word of God says you also have a body. Your body becomes a member. And every member supplies the whole of that body. Guess what? The head is not the hand. The head is not the hand. And guess what? The head is not the foot. And guess what? If Jesus is the head, then all that authority dwells in that head. That's the member I understand. Listen, anything less than what the head has already attained to, if you don't join in and join forces with its victory that's in the head, then your member that you're part of won't do what the head has already dictated as fact. You know, this is one of them sermons that is too good to really apprehend with your natural mind. So when you're in unfavorable circumstances of life, guess what God is trying to get across to you and I? That the eyes of our heart or understanding would be enlightening to know the authority that Jesus established is still in Him, seated at the right hand of the Father, who has become a member of the body, which is the head. He's still dictating that authority to the what? Body. To the body, which is the what? Church. The church! You know what? Let's take a look at something that can communicate a little clearer to what I'm trying to get across. I'm in control of my own body. Why? My head tells me so. Yeah. So if I want my body to suffer, I'll just put my hand out on the chopping block and say, cut the baby off. Well, I got news for you. My head ain't going to go along with that. You want to know why? I don't want to suffer that way. Well, I ain't going to change Jesus' position. Right. Hey, He doesn't want you to go through the mess you're going through. If He Himself has already went through it so that you can have the victory, why does He want you to go through it again? He don't. Right. Now, I wish I had more time, but turn over to Mark 4. I heard this testimony so many times from people that were here and left. Not only just our church, but many churches. Not just our church, because our church is not the what you call the church that has the epitome of the Word of God. But I've heard this testimony several times by churches that are established on the Word of God, that people left that church because of the hell they were going through when they started going to them. You know, when Sue and I got the revelation that our faith can work for us, what a shock. Because I was taught by religion and not Christianity. I was taught that whatever will be, I was taught from the traditional viewpoint. You see. And so when I started getting a revelation, hey, I can fight back, I got thinking, well, then why in the world am I taking all these punches when God tells me I can punch back? I heard religion say, turn the other cheek. Well, I understand turning the other cheek for the purpose of victory, not so you can get slapped again. Are you following what I'm saying? And so when I begin to get a revelation, whoa, wow, I can fight back. Sue will testify with me. All hell broke loose in our home. I start believing for healing, we all got sick. I start believing for money, we all went broke. I start believing for this and for that, and nothing started working. Why? Because I backed off what God was trying to get across. But when they start learning, you get a few victories, and you go, boop, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And people, to be honest with you, the only thing I knew, I always questioned my faith. The only thing I knew, oh, I'll just be obedient. I didn't feel like it. I didn't think I was in faith. But the Word of God said this, so I'm going to do the instructions. That's obedience. Well, Paul said, we're in a warfare. And the thing that you're going to find in the arena of this warfare is the imagination or reasonings that goes off in your head. And then he tells you right then and there, better check up on whether you're in faith or not. Any of you have a faith dial? I didn't. And so when I saw 2 Corinthians 10 and what he said there, he said that these reasonings actually speak against the knowledge of God. He says, just be obedient and do the word anyway over the reasoning, and then stand guard. And if your mind gets out of control again, it says, just act like an armed guard. Get back in line there in obedience. So I got rid of this questioning in my faith dial. Just got obedience, and I got some results. Duh. You mean the word works? Yeah. You know what that did? It caused me to listen a little closer. Now, I'm going to try to get this across to you as quick as I can. In Mark chapter 4, y'all turn there? Y'all at Mark 4? Okay. When you get into unfavorable circumstances, you might be doing everything in integrity. In the natural, you might be just the sweetest little thing on 2 feet. But I got news for you. Your natural ability is no match for what's on the inside of you. You don't know whether it's submitted to God or not. The devil is not your problem. More and more Christians, the devil made me doing. Devil can't make you do anything. He's got to deceive you to get him to work, get you to work for him, even against yourself. And there's where your biggest deception comes in, because yourself is not your enemy. Matter of fact, you've corroborated with yourself so much that he's your friend. And boy, Satan loves that, because then he can move in and use you against yourself every time. That's the wisdom we're to obtain to in the devil. When Jesus appeared to me and made that statement to him, went into shock. He told me to have the wisdom of the devil. Well, what he was referring to was to know how the devil neutralizes my life. That's the wisdom he wants me to obtain to. Know how he can neutralize me, stop me. Now, in Mark chapter 4, verse 16, when I saw this, And it wasn't all that too long ago. John and I got happy about it. Notice it says in verse 16, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." Now, verse 15 says, when you have received the word of God, Satan comes immediately. He doesn't wait around. See, when I started seeing the word of God and started applying the word of God, there's where I got my opposition. Well, and I have word on it. Well, it's because he came immediately. But, you know, if you're, now think about this. If you're one of these traditional thinkers, and all of a sudden you start seeing the word of God, and all of a sudden the enemy comes and hits you, then you have to formulate some way in your thinking to accept that position. And the traditional viewpoint is, this is the will of God, because after all, God is in total control, and it wouldn't be happening to you if it wasn't the will of God. Because God is allowing this to educate you. And if he's allowing it to educate you, you know, then be happy with where you're at. Because after all, he purposed it. Because he is the supreme being. You know, a doctor made this statement. How come that I find unbelievers having more faith than believers? What is that? Isn't that weird? Are you ready? When I was reading this, it finally dawned on me that this parable, if you don't understand, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, then nothing else is going to come into perspective. Nothing else. I learned the hard way, but it was my easy way. I learned to pay attention when God was speaking. Did you know that before I really started listening to the Word of God, I was lackadaisical in showing up for church? Every time I didn't come to church, it was the very sermon I needed. I even had my wife help me with that one. I don't want to go today. Did you know that I was prone to listen to the enemy more than I thought I was? Because God wanted to get some confirmation or some insight or direction in my life through the sermon that was going to be preached that day. And more than likely, 99% of the time, the enemy is at work to keep you out of services so you'll miss the sermons that you need. How many of you sat in your own pews and said, "Dang, I wish so-and-so was here"? When really you needed it just as bad as they did. It's because they have the uncanny ability to be lackadaisical in their walk with God. And I made a decision, I'm not going to do that. Amen. And you can testify my wife. When I started hearing Kenneth Hagin's messages, it hit me so hard, I crawled up in the attic and all reel-to-reel tapes before cassettes came out. When cassettes came out, I mean, Rhema knew me real well. Because I had some of the largest orders. I'd order them tapes. Yeah, Sue, I couldn't hardly wait to get down to the post office, get that package, and open them cassette tapes and devour them things. And I sat and listened to them for hours up in the night, getting away from everybody. And finally, I started hearing what that man was saying. I go, "Good Lord, I can't believe this." And then along came Kenneth Copeland. I started devouring his stuff. Man, I went after everything he had. I called Warm Beach down there and I said, "Yeah, you had Kenneth Copeland there and he had these four tapes on faith. Do you have..." "Oh, we don't recommend them." I said, "Why?" "Well, we just don't stand behind everything that he believes." I said, "Well, send me the tapes anyway." That was the first sign to me he's got to be saying something right. I got those four tapes. It just cut me loose on faith. Man, I devoured them. But you know what really opened me up to understanding faith? When I needed to use it the most. Now, notice that the ground here that he's talking about in verse 16, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." Notice the statement, "heard the word." Heard the word. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Heard the word. Now, notice verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. But there's something different in this verse. And bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now the thing that dawned on me is that when I had my interlinear out and I was reading it, I couldn't believe the endings of the words in the Greek. I went and I looked and I said, it can't be! But it was! Did you notice? It stumped me for years. How can both of them hear and one not bring fruit forth and one bring forth fruit? Well, that's the beautiness of your inheritance of the perfect Word of God that was preserved for you, and the devil would like you to question what was left us as a legacy, which is the Word of God. And this language that God chose to describe the kingdom is the most beautiful language on the planet Earth. I don't understand English, but I do know Greek. You want to know why? I simply just take English for granted, but I don't know nothing about it. But when it comes to this Greek language, I have a reason to be plugged into it. You want to know why? It's the language which God chose to reveal God to me. And boy, when He gives me a specific language to be able to understand what He's saying, that's going to catch my attention. Now, are you ready? God, how can both of them hear the Word of God? One fail and one succeed. Because the hearing's different. The hearing's different. And in this case, I'm going to give you a little Greek lesson. And I know that teaching is not as glamorous as preaching, but this is where you grow. One, you get emotionally involved. The other, you get transformed. This parable. Ready? And these are they that likewise when are sown on stony ground. Notice stony ground. Stony ground. Who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Do you know the key to this hearing? Is that it's heard through stony ground. Stony ground. That means there is somebody hearing the word of God, and they have in their heart hardness. Because the ground that he's referring to is all the types of ground that are in us. Now, I want you to catch this. In verse 16, you have the word heard and you have the word received. But in verse 20, you also have the word hear and the word received. All right, now, verse 16 indicates a hearing of the sound or voice, where verse 20 indicates the meaning or the message of the voice. Verse 16, they did not hear the message. Verse 20, the thing they heard was with perception. Now, get this. Verse 16 is what we call the genitive case. Whenever that thing is used, it means a sensational or emotional perception. It means they've heard something and they liked what they heard, but they didn't understand it. That's what you call, there's where preaching can get a person emotionally and not intellectually. And both of them are very important. That's what preaching does. Preaching fires you up, but teaching educates you. And that's why some Christians have never grown spiritually. They're more prone to preaching than they are teaching. And you need both. You need to go and hear a good sermon to encourage you. You need to walk out of this sermon. Oh man, that just what I think. My wife confirms that all the time. I wish you'd preach more than teach. I'm tired of Greek. But that doesn't make her wrong. Because sometimes you just need a good old fire sermon. Yep. Boy, I like a T.D. Jakes. I don't agree with everything he says, but I like to sit and listen to him because he fires me up emotionally. Yeah. You need it. But that's not what I count on for my growth. I need to understand the message as well as the preaching. I need both of them in my life. Now, this is very unique because Mark 4 says, if you don't understand this parable, you ain't going to function in life. And it's how you hear something. I love to hear preaching, but I love it when I'm taught. Well, then, what kind of case is verse 20 in? It's called the accusative case, which means to bring forth an objective to your life. Did you get that? I love preaching because it gets me stirred up. It gets me fired up. Gets me back into that fire mode. Right? But that's not what will keep me in the fire mode. I got to also have an objective with what I heard preach. I've got to have an objective with the Word of God. The Word of God has got to be an objective point for my life. And are you ready? If it's not an objective to your life, then you're just merely hearing a bunch of preaching and a bunch of sound. They ain't going to do you any good when the enemy has a greater defense against you than you do. You know, the enemy doesn't care how fired up you are as long as you're stupid. You can be as fired up as you want. And you could draw this sword of emotionalism and whap at him and swing him. He'll know how to duck your sword and whap you every time. You want to know why? He's a greater fighter than you. He knows all about you. He knows how he can come in and bring a deceptive attack on your life. Because why? You're dumb. Paul even told a converted Jew, he says, you know what you guys are? Yeah, it's so hard to get revelation across to you. See how you're dumb. Dumb Christians don't receive much. But problems. Did you guys get something here today? And I got news for you. If you're in an unfavorable situation, I don't care what it is. You got to perform the Word of God. And if you don't trust in your faith, be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Don't question God's love. Know God's on your side. Just be obedient. Sometimes my faith button is lost. Where did I put my faith button? Like keys. Where's my faith button? Good, I'm glad you can't find it. Now be obedient to the Word of God, and that obedience will work for you. Did you guys get something? I want you to confess this with me. You ready? I may not understand everything, but one thing I do know, obedience to your Word pays off. You watch over your words to perform it. When I get under your Word, I perform it. I like this word receive, receiveth. The first word, verse 16, comes off of lambano, which means something thrown at you. It means you didn't even ask for it. You wasn't even looking for it. You just got it. So this person just got it. The problem was he's stony ground. But he got it anyway. You know what the second word, verse 20, is? It means he received it because he has an objective. It means he reached out and grabbed it. It wasn't just thrown at him. He reached out and grabbed it for an objective. I like John McMaines. He got a real bad report on cancer. Last time I talked to him, it's shrinking. I said, John, I says, you want me to cry with you? I can do that. But what did God tell you? He said, Jesus approached him and says, John, this is what God told him. John, where's your verses? Where's your verses? Just because you know you're a Christian don't mean a hill of beans. It's when you are a Christian and you understand the Word of God and perform that in your circumstances. There's your victory. Most of us wait till it's too late. We got to pray at the last minute. And Billy came up and said, well, our prayer didn't seem to be answered. I looked at Billy and I said, Billy, we just prayed too late. Billy go, oh, yeah. It's the ones who think ahead of time and pray ahead of time. Amen? That's what makes a good boss. He thinks ahead, right? You always tell me that. A good boss thinks ahead, you nut. You don't go into a mass war without a plan. You know what? You lose war. Isn't that right, John? Anybody knows that? It'd be John. You got to think ahead of time. You got to prepare. You don't think these football games are because they just show up on the field Sunday and decide to play against a certain team. They study that team. They study their opponent. They understand how to make their moves, their plays. They practice it. I mean, we're no different. When you're dealing with light and darkness, we're no different. We have to be prepared. We have to plan ahead. And I'll tell you what, our greatest enemy is ourself. If we learn how to die, and God can live through us then. Glory to God. We can succeed. Stand up, everybody, before I keep the jawing again. Hallelujah. We have our children's program tonight. Is that not right? The adult program. Oh, I'm sorry I spaced out. I wasn't paying attention, but I'll be obedient. And we have an adult program tonight. It's going to be good. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I like plays, don't you guys? Yep. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Let's do an altar call. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And this morning, Father, just as we end this service, if there be anybody here that doesn't know you, that are not born again, that would like to receive Jesus as their personal Savior, we want to give them that opportunity to receive Jesus more than anything else. And Father, if there be any brother or sister that has broken fellowship, that has been out of fellowship for you a while and would like to restore that, Father, we want to pray with them. Boy, the presence of God don't take but just a second. Hallelujah. And they'd be right back into the fullness of our Lord. Hallelujah. It's not that we change the Lord. It's that we change ourselves. The Lord is an ever-present source with us all the time. It's we that step away. And then, Father, if there be anybody that has not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, we want to lay hands on them and let them speak in another language. Hallelujah, that's so important for their spiritual growth. And so, if you're here today and you would like the new birth, you would like to restore your fellowship, you'd like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, feel free to step out and come forward. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. We'll wait just a minute. Hallelujah. We have altar ministers that are willing to work with you and help you. Anybody? Come right here, sweetheart. Anybody else would like to join? Hallelujah. What an honor. What an honor for you to respond like that to the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Anybody else? We want to do everything we can to make you feel comfortable. But if you can look within yourself, know that you need a prayer for this. If you even question your salvation, you need to be up here. Anybody? We want to get that removed from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful person to respond to the Holy Spirit. And as we give her over to the altar minister, Father, may every answer, every question, whatever it is, be given to her in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just go with that sweetheart behind you and she's going to bless you. Hallelujah. Well, Hallelujah. We have you got to turn that on.
John Crum, you got this on yet?
You got it.
You got it.
And Hill?
Okay.
It's dead.
Yep, I turned it on. My fault.
John being John, I would never have asked, did you turn it on?
Thanks, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Mr. Crum come up here, but he just wanted to announce that his son got back from Iraq, and we want to thank the Lord for that.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Come on up here and show your face. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for protecting him. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. Safe and sound. No injuries. God works, don't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. We're glad you're with us. We'd also like to thank John and Joanne. She's able to be here today. God bless you. Callaway is here. Praise God. Amen. Just a proud father here.
Oh, yeah, he's a proud father. All right.
That's good.
Well, he has something to be proud of, his boy. Praise God. Well, thank you for coming forward and letting us know. Praise God. And it is an honor to have you here, Joanne Callaway. She's my blonde bomb. Okay, with that, you guys are dismissed. Praise God. Be here for the program tonight. It's important.